I just want to, like Bill said, I just like to talk to you on Wednesday night. And I want to talk to you tonight about decide not to be moved. Look at your neighbor and say, decide not to be moved. How many of you have ever had to move? Okay. You either used your own car or a truck, your own truck. Sometimes you rent a U-Haul trailer or you rent a truck. You know, sometimes you call somebody else, you know. But no matter how you moved, you were moved. Okay? Now, life is always moving us around, you know. Now, I'm not talking about geographically, but I'm talking about physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Life is always moving us around. I want to read something that the Apostle Paul talked about in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We start with verse number 24. Acts chapter 20, verse number 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, though that I may finish my race with joy and ministry, which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Pay particular attention to that. None of these things move me. Now, the Worldwide English Bible says, none of these things trouble me. Another version says, but I fear none of these things. Berkeley Vision says, version says, however, I'm not concerned about anything. Now, what Paul was talking about here in verse 23, the verse before we started reading this, it said, the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Paul was saying that he was not afraid of any of these things. He was not allowing any of it to hinder him from accomplishing what he felt like God had called him to do. He was determined to follow God. If we look at the Apostle Paul and study his life and just read his epistles without even... Now, some of us have had the privilege of having courses like I did in Bible college on the life of Paul and about that. But if you just read Corinthians, he faced some incredible opposition. He had a lot of huge obstacles thrown in his way. He faced some circumstances that in the natural are not overcomable. But he didn't let any of those things move him. You know, I remember as a kid, we went through some pretty rough times. Sometimes on the road in some of my messages, I'll tell some of it. I don't think I've told any here at the church, but man, we went through some rough times when Dad first started out on the field. What people saw him and our family in later years, he didn't see the struggles that we went through, but he kept preaching faith, we kept believing God, and we come out on the other side. And so I would say, Dad, what are we going to do? And he would look at me with those sparkling blue eyes, look down at me, and he'd say, son, we're going to act like the Bible's so are true. And then he would say, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. He never let anything move him. I don't care what anybody said about him. I don't care whatever happened. Nothing ever moved him at all. You see, we need to take that attitude that nothing will move us from walking with God and fulfilling wherever God's got us. Now, God's not going to put all of you on the pulpit behind and on the platform. He's not going to put all of you singing, because some of you couldn't sing like me. You wouldn't want me up here singing, that's for sure. I'm pretty good if I stand beside somebody of staying where they're at. But if I'm supposed to be, you know, if I'm not supposed to be there, or if they're going too high and I can't get there, then it sounds pretty bad. You know, this attitude is something that we need to develop early on in our Christian walk, is that nothing is going to move us or stop us. We have to decide ourselves that we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let somebody talk us out of doing what we think God wants us to do. Like I said, He's not going to have all of you on the platform. Some of you are going to be in the ministry of helps, working a job, just helping in a church. That's as important ministry as this one is right here. Because you never know those kids that you might be helping, and that children, you never know where they're going to end up. And I tell this story all the time, but I'll tell it again. When Kenneth Turner took an interest in me as a 9-year-old Sunday school boy, and he was a man back in that day, you know, he worked for Ford Plant. Worked at the Ford plant in Dallas, Texas. He always had a station wagon because he'd bring his family to church early, and then he would drive around through town, and if he find boys especially out on, he'd go ask their parents if he could take them to church. I never will forget, people were appalled at his memorial service. That church was full of men in dress suits with ties that were walking by. That man had influenced their lives. He never knew that I'd be standing here, the head of this organization. And what I thank God, what I've been able to accomplish by following God. But he was faithful to minister to me in those 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old years. You see, you've got to decide to follow God wherever He's got you. Whether you're working in the children, whether you do it parking cars, whether you're ushering on this platform in one worship capacity, working back at the information booth, working in the altar care team. You see, we have to decide right now that we're not going to let somebody come out and say, well, look, man, you graduated from Raymond there. All you're doing there with them kids, you ought to get out there and get to preaching. Well, you know what? You may not be a preacher, but you may be a great worker in the children. Thank God for those 20 amens. See, somebody try to tell you. Don't let them talk you out of it. When I was associate pastor for my father-in-law for those 6 years, from 67 to 72, I mean, man, I was doing everything. I was building Sunday school annexes. I was pouring concrete. I was preaching. I was changing commodes and lavatories and urinals and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was doing whatever needed to be done. And if you've been in my class, my pastoral class, I tell you, you do whatever you have to do for the ministry's sake, whether it's manual or preaching, whatever it is. You know, but I had some of my Bible school says, oh, Hagin, if I was you, I'd go get another job. I mean, you're not really in the ministry. I said, well, I preach every week. Oh, yeah, but you got doing all that other stuff. Well, come to find out, as far as I know, none of those associates that were telling me that are in the ministry today, and I am. I tell people all the time, if you're not willing to do the menial task, you'll never be on this platform preaching. Somebody said, well, I don't agree with that. That's fine. Just go on about your way. You're going to find out it's true, too. I have seen through the years, I have seen more people that were involved in this church in ushering and all kinds of other stuff go out and have successful ministries. And I've seen others that wanted a ministry, but they didn't get involved here, and they, you know, they're still not in the ministry. There says Tony Cook. He was here with me for all those years. He can tell you it's the truth. You've got to decide. You have to decide to follow God through life according to what you see Him leading you. You know, so often we're moved by somebody influencing us. We're moved by pressure to do certain things. I haven't had it in years, but for years I had people pressuring me. Oh, you need to have a regular school, kindergarten through 12th grade. I said, no, I don't. Oh, yes, you do. Pressure. People pressuring you. Even people offering money to help support it. I said, no. Well, it's a good thing. I said, yeah, it is. It is. But that's not what God called me to do. God called me to do Rhema. And let me tell you something right here. I don't know. I'm just talking to you tonight, but I believe this is going to help you in your all of life. Just not here, but all these, what I'm talking about tonight will help you in all of your life. You know, people have tried to put pressure on you. And I was praying one night, getting ready for my Sunday morning service. This back when the church was, actually, I guess we were still down in RMA before we, or maybe it was when we had moved up to the NRC, I don't know, in that time. So that would have been late 80s. He said, you know, he said, when people give their time and their effort, even though it's a good project, and because I was having some people pressure me to get involved in something, and you put your time, your money, and your effort into that, and that's not what I called you to do, you're in disobedience. Man, that sort of hit me. I told that person no. They got mad at me because I wouldn't go along and get involved with what God was wanting them to do. In fact, they got mad at me because I said, I'm doing what God called me to do with Rhema. I said, if God called you to do it, then believe Him and get the finances and do it without going around and trying to get everybody to chip in and be a part of it. He had this deal, and it was a good deal. I mean, it was a godly deal. But instead of him, he said, God told me to do this. And he got mad at me. I said, if God told you to do it, he'll show you how to get it done. Come on. I got off here. Okay. You know, how many of you have a favorite meal? Okay, what if they fixed it for you and they brought it out and they just squirted green food coloring over the whole thing? It looked horrible. Yeah, it looked yucky. I don't think you'd be too quick to eat it. I wouldn't. Hello, how many understand what I'm trying to say to you? The reason is because you are moved by what you see, not by how it's going to taste. You're moved by what you see. You see a yucky plate of green junk sitting in front of you. You probably would reject it. Am I right or wrong? Because you saw it. See, too many people are moved by the circumstances they see. Too many people are moved by what somebody else says. or what they hear. Smith Wigglesworth said this, "I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe." So we've got to determine not to be moved by obstacles we encounter. Now they take different forms, the obstacles we face. Negative circumstances, layoff at work, people's opinions and attitudes. You know, one guy was talking to me one day, and he had this. He said, "Well, this is my opinion." And I let him talk till I got tired of hearing to him. And I said, "Wait a minute, I'm really not interested in your opinion because it's not in line with God's word." He didn't like it. But you know me, you know Pastor, I tell it like it is, and that's the way it is. How many of you know I'm that way? I don't mince words. Sometimes an obstacle, lack of money, that comes into bad relationships. Sometimes we have physical challenges. These are just a few things that I jotted down here that are things that could move us. We got to be determined not to be moved by any of these. We got to be able to take every one of these things I listed here, take the Word of God, put the Word of God to it, and walk on through it. Hello? You there? Y'all gone home? Well, I hear 50 people, so I'll keep going. These obstacles are one way that the enemy keeps us from walking in the blessings of God. Another thing we need to realize, these things we face, Paul called them these, I like to do it my way. He called them menial things, and they're temporary. Anybody ever read that over there? They're temporary. They don't last forever. I guarantee you, many of you can think of an obstacle you faced right now in the past, and today it's only a memory. It was temporary. But many people allow that obstacle, instead of moving on and letting it be in the past, to keep them stymied right there, and they never move any further. You know, any situation you face, remember, it's temporary. The power of God is more than enough to change any circumstance, any situation. You know, the Israelites found themselves in many, many impossible situations. They faced a lot of insurmountable obstacles. One place was, the sea was in front of them, and there was no way around it. And Pharaoh and the Egyptian army was behind them. I mean, it was trapped. They seemed trapped. And it looked like a grave in the making. But God moved miraculously. And you can read the whole story in Exodus 14, 21 through 30. But there they were, and they began to murmur and complain, and Moses went to the Lord, and I'm just going to paraphrase it my own way. And the Lord told him, "Now stand still and watch him work." And he stretched his hand out, and the waters parted, and they marched across. And after they went across, the Egyptians there in 25 took, it came to pass there. He stretched his hand back out, it says there, and the waters come in on top of them, destroyed all the Egyptians in the middle of the water. Now, my dad was preaching about this one time, and he said, "Yeah, I read after a guy, and he had a whole bunch of letters after the end of his name," and he said, "Well, that Red Sea at that time had almost dried up, and it was only a couple of feet deep." How can an entire army drown in 2 feet of water? Come on. I've said not to be moved by any obstacle that comes your way. I like another thing that Wigglesworth said. A man must be in an immovable condition. A man must be in an immovable condition. The voice of God must mean more to him than what he sees, feels, or what people say. That's a good one. Say this with me. God is bigger than any obstacle that I face. Okay, now, I want to get to something else that messed people up, in spiritually and in natural life. You have to decide not to follow every opportunity that comes your way. America's been called the land of the plenty and land of opportunity, and it certainly is. Opportunities come and go. Don't let somebody tell you, well, you won't have another opportunity. There are more opportunities that will come. The world says this is the only opportunity you'll get. God said, as long as you trust in me, you'll have opportunities. Now, opportunities many times come in waves. And if you ever know anything about surfing, I know a little bit, but not much. Waves come in a group, and you'll see them surfers. They paddle out and they set out there. Anybody here a surfer? Okay, they paddle out, yeah. And there'd be a wave coming, but nobody will get up on it because the waves come in sets. Is that right? And you mess up if you don't take the right wave. She's a surfer. That's about all I know about it. I've read about it. If I had Cliff Graham here, he could tell us all about it. Y'all know who Cliff Graham is? That guy is something else. He gets into places that he's able to minister the gospel because he is a excellent surfer, excellent snowboard and ski person, and he's been into places because he's that kind of an instructor that you can never get in there to preach, but while he's doing instruction to these people, teaching them how to teach people, he gets the opportunity to spread the gospel. See, you got to learn how to surf the waves correctly. The waves of opportunity. Not all opportunities are from God. They may look good, they may smell good, they may seem good, but that doesn't automatically mean it's from God. You got to pray and discern, is this a God opportunity? Now, there's some opportunities that we know in the natural we don't want to line up with. You don't line up with an opportunity if it's contrary to something in the Word of God. And certainly, if it's unethical, you don't even think about it. If it's an opportunity that's actually taking advantage of people, you better avoid that and move on down the road pretty quick, or you'll get in trouble yourself. Realize all opportunities are not from God. If it lines up with God's word and you have learned how to listen to your spirit on the inside and it seems right with God, then pursue it. But if it doesn't seem right, don't pursue it. I have had opportunity after opportunity come my way about some things. And people have wondered and got upset at me, even friends, because I didn't pursue it. Well, it might have been all right for them to pursue it, but it wasn't for me. You got to remember, when I moved this ministry out here, with that one building on the corner and half of the one behind it and the acreage back there, it was just long shot like this. Those two buildings and 6 acres. There was nothing else out here. The apartments was across the street, and they were nobody in them because they were in bankruptcy. Where the park is was nothing but a growed up mess. In fact, we had to take chainsaws to cut everything out to even get in there when we did get it. The part of the NRC that's the skating rink, it was up there. None of this other stuff was out here. I grew up in Garland, Texas. I watched Garland grow. And I looked around and I saw all this empty land all around. It was just a little 2-lane road out there. And Aspen down there, I guess that Aspen down there was just a 2-lane road. There wasn't none of that stuff there. None. 76. It was blank fields. But when I had bought this property and studied the geographical map, they said that, and I forget how many years, that the geographical center was going to be at 71st and Mingo or Garnett down there. And I saw, there was nothing between us and, the mall, And I watched Garland grow, and I knew a friend of mine. He went out and got options on all that property. Then when it did start selling, he made a killing. I knew I could have done that. But you know what? I realized that's an opportunity, but I told some other people about it because I realized the opportunity that was there. But I couldn't have built the school and done that too. In business world, sometimes you get too many irons in the fire and you're not good at any of them. My dad used to say, too many preachers get too many irons in the fire and they're a jack. They're a jack of all trades and mastery of none. Now, I'm talking about in your natural life as well as your spiritual life. We've got to remember which opportunity we ought to jump on. Ooh, it's almost time. Anybody getting anything out of what I have to say tonight? Somebody lives with regret of a missed opportunity. Hey, let it go. God's got more of them. God's bigger than one missed opportunity. Alexander Graham Bell says, when one door closes, another opens. But we often look so long at and regretful at the closed door that we don't see the one which is just opened. See, too many people are living on Regret Street and they miss another opportunity. Some people think life is over because they missed an opportunity. No, if you listen with God, God will help you. Don't be an opportunity chaser. Be a God follower. And he'll bring an opportunity to you. Now, real quick, I got to close on this. It's almost 8 o'clock. Determined to follow God or make a decision to follow God in whatever he tells us. Paul says in Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. You know, we must be influenced, guided, and moved by the word of God. Wigglesworth said again, if you seek nothing but the will of God, he will always put you in the right place at the right time. God promised to guide us in the way we should go. Exodus 15:13, NLT says, with your unfailing love, you lead people. You have redeemed in your might. You guide them to a sacred home. Proverbs in 4:11 and 12 in the contemporary English says, I've shown you the way that makes sense. I've guided you along the right path. Your road won't be blocked. You won't stumble when you run. Isaiah 58:11 in NIV says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. John 16:13, But when the Spirit, NIV, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And of course, Romans 8:16, NIV, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Some people think that when you follow in God with your natural life and your spiritual life, it's going to be trouble-free. It's not. But he will remove the obstacles. He will bring you opportunities if you learn to move with him and follow his leading. This is the hour that we need to realize that we make a decision in natural and supernatural to follow God. The will of God. People all talk about the will of God. Well, let's look at the word will. W, wait for the Holy Spirit to speak. Just don't do what you want to do. I, inquire what the Word has to say. That's your roadmap. L, lay aside all desires of your own. Lay aside all personal ambitions and see what God says. The other L, listen to godly counsel. Those who have successfully followed God. You must make a decision to not let any of these things move you. Everybody stand, please. Did you get anything out of what I said tonight? Say this with me. I am determined to finish my course. I will not be moved out of my place. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I am moved only by what God's word says. I am moved only by what I believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we'd like for you to know him tonight. Or if you're here and you know what it is to serve the Lord, but you're not in the right place and you need to rededicate your life, tonight's the time to do it. If you're here and would like to receive the blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about a biblical experience found in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Or if you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, the ladies are here, the men are over here. If you'll come here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You need the Holy Spirit. Or you want somebody to pray with you about something, this is where you come and receive. For you first-time guests, we're so glad that you came with us tonight. Our connection team is going to find you and take you out to the lobby there. And we want to give you a special gift. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. God bless you. Hey, Sunday morning right here. We'll be here Sunday morning. But hey, Friday night right here in this auditorium, the 48th graduation of Rhema Bible College takes place. It's a great experience. Come and experience graduation with our Rhema Bible College students on Friday night. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I am determined not to be moved by anything, but I am determined. I am making the decision to follow God. God bless. See you Friday night, Sunday.